Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writers Book Club. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. Today we welcome Patricia Sands to the podcast. Welcome, Patricia.
Hi there. Glad to be here.
Patricia has recently been picked up by the publishers Lake Union Publishing for Love in the Provence series. She's also a proud indie author. Her award-winning debut novel, The Bridge Club, was published in 2010. Her second novel, The Promise of Provence, received a 2014 National Indie Excellent Finalist Award in Literary Fiction. Wow, that's a long title. And an Amazon Hot new release in April 2013. The Promise of Provence was also a USA Best Book 2013 finalist in women's fiction. And her third novel, Promise to Keep, Book 2 of the Love in Provence series, was released in September 2014. Welcome, Patricia. Again. Welcome again.
Yes, great. I'm feeling very welcome.
Good. I'm glad I welcomed you twice, but there you go. Sometimes that happens. It's my age. No, this is great. I mean, you really have... I mean, I actually read your... I'm a fan, because I actually read your book probably when it first came out, because I loved the cover, I have to be honest. I was drawn in by the cover. And anything to do with France or anything to do with Europe was so exciting for me. So you do write a lot in this particular series about Provence and France. And just tell us what inspired you to write about that locale.
Well, I first fell in love with France in 1967, which is long before many of you were even born. But I was over there with a bunch of friends after university, backpacking around, and there was just something about France that totally captivated me, and I've had an ongoing love affair with it ever since. So after I published The Bridge Club, which really was quite a surprise to me to be a published author, because it wasn't on my agenda, but it happened by accident, and once the book was out and doing well and I realized how wonderful it was to be part of the writing world, I knew that the second novel I wanted to publish would be set in France. My husband and I go there every year. We have for the past 20 years gone to the south of France every summer, first of all just for a couple of weeks, and then later as life progressed and we retired, we can go for months now, which we do. Mostly through home exchange, which is a totally other topic. I told you I'm really good about going off topic, so we can talk about that another time. So I knew that the south of France was where my heart lived, and that's what I wanted to write about. And I like to write to an older demographic. I like to write, you know, more about women over 50 or 40 and sometimes 70 who still have exciting lives to talk about. So anyway, I did not know that The Promise of Provence would turn into a series. That, again, was a complete surprise because of the tremendous reader response that I received and emails from readers saying, oh, I loved it, so, but what happened next? You know, did they stay together? What happened? So that's when I realized I could turn it into a series. So The Promise of Provence is kind of a long book. It's over 400 pages. And, you know, had I being more aware of what I was doing at the time, I could easily have made that into two novels.
Yeah.
So it's the longest, and then the next ones that follow are shorter.
That is so
exciting. That's amazing. I love the fact that it went on a little trip of its own. Like, it took you, just by the readership, you know, desire to move it ahead. And the three-book series is a great, I've been told, is a great, you know, thing to have is a three-book series. So that's amazing. So how did you, I mean, I know we're going to get into a little bit more, but so what, when you came to, you wrote The Bridge Club, was that completely different? I actually write for the same demographics. So I'm excited to hear about, you know, that as well. But The Bridge Club, tell us a little bit about what that was about. And that was obviously very different.
Yes, it really was. You know, I started writing The Bridge Club just for fun, for my real life Bridge Club. There are actually 10 of us. 8 of us are going to get together down here in Florida, where I am right now. We're going to get together in the middle of February. We're all going to be here in the same area. So we've been friends for well, some of us for over 50 years. And from time to time, somebody would say, oh, you know, somebody should write a book about us. And then, you know, we'd laugh, ha, 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 and that would be it. So I had a lot of time on my hands 10 years ago, and I started writing this book just for them. And from time to time, some of my other friends would take a look at what I was doing, what I was writing, and they started saying, you know, you should publish this. Like, you're telling women's stories, and my friends would read this, my book club would read this. So that's when I started to investigate about publishing. And it was just, you know, I was lucky in that the timing was right. The dynamics in the publishing world were changing, and self-publishing was starting to become something respectable to do. Whereas before, you know, there'd always been a little bit of a stigma attached. And of course, as we know today, being an indie author is a just a fabulous way to go. So I did end up self-publishing. I started off at first, you know, sending out query letters to publishers and agents, and I got some very good replies back saying they really liked my work, but, you know, they weren't looking for something like that in that genre at the particular time, or they could work with me but not for a year and a half. And I'm like, do you know how old I am?
Don't make me wait.
Yeah, I don't have a year and a half to sit around and wait. So, and then I read a couple of interviews with very successful authors, one of them being Lisa Genova, who wrote Still Alice. And she had self-published that at first because she just got rejected by everybody. Imagine. And, yeah, so I self-published, and that was the beginning of this whole path.
Cool.
And so it's a story. I narrowed it down to 8 women instead of 10. Combined a couple of characters. It's fiction based on fact. 80% of the book is true. Mm-hmm. And my bridge club were unbelievably supportive. They all signed written permissions for me to publish the book. And they were really great about reminding me because, you know, it goes back between 40 years. So they were great about reminding me about some things that happened at the time. And it was really an amazing experience, and I just love that it continues to sell very well.
Yeah, that is great. I love that you've picked the friends you like the most that you've hang out with and then turned it into a book. I'd be afraid they all be like, don't be telling all my stories and stuff.
Well, I do leave some.
Well, yeah, of course. And if they signed permissions, apparently what you put in there, they were fine with. But that is so cool. It's such a personal thing, too. I mean, I know you've added fiction in there as well, but just to kind of celebrate the group of women that you have. I love that. That's great.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, what's better than the friendship that women share, you know? I mean, it can be quite an amazing thing and quite a powerful thing.
Yeah.
And I love to include that in all my books, some aspect of it. You know, even in The Promise of Provence, there are 2 strong women friends with the main character. And I just think it's a great thing to celebrate.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And I actually we'll have a lovely review here from the Bridge Club. It says, if you've ever wondered what it's like to really have true friends who are there for you through thick and thin, who make you laugh at the same time, infuriate you, yet who are always got your back, then this is the book for you. If you want to exhale squeals of laughter or silent sob at heart-wrenching challenges, then this is the book for you. And if you want to be transported into the fascinating lives of characters who you now desperately want to meet, then this is the book for you. So obviously people feel the same way. They've really connected with what you wanted to put out there was that friendship and that warmth. And it sounds like people really connected with that.
Yes, it was wonderful to receive the emails from readers, you know, talking about friendships in their own lives, and also, you know, from some readers who said they never had a friendship like that in their life, and they really wished they had, you know, and that reading about it meant a lot to them. It was, you know, I'm sure you agree that hearing from readers is absolutely the best reward for an author, and it's something, and it's something that I hadn't even anticipated when I started writing. You know, I mean, I never wrote an email. Well, of course, they didn't have email then, but, you know, I never wrote to an author, you know. And now, of course, people do so often. And, I mean, Amazon makes it wonderfully easy because they send you the links and, you know, encourage you to write a review. And I think that's wonderful. And I get emails from readers every day.
Oh.
And that's the best part of my day.
That is awesome.
Wow, I love that. So one of the things that is challenging, because I also write with an ensemble cast of characters. I think I have eight in my cast too. I haven't even counted, but I think it's eight too. And it's also, the challenge is always having everybody have an equal voice. Did you find that challenging when you were writing The Bridge Club?
Yes, and I can't wait to read your book, Suzanne. And,
oh, good.
Yeah.
It's great.
So as soon as it's ready, you let me know so I can go in there and click on and have it sent to my...
I know you love it. It's comedy and it's older with too, so I'm sure it'll be something you'll enjoy, I'm guessing. So good, I hope so.
It's a great book. I loved it.
I think you can actually...
Pre-order.
There you go, pre-order. Thank you, Anne. Thank you for giving me the book. So you can actually order it now. And I think it's cheaper now, too. I mean, it's a very exciting moment, you know, having this.
Yes.
And you know, because you've been through it. So we have the same publishers who are incredible, by the way. Amazon, you're a wonderful company to work for. We're really enjoying, both of us, we're just talking about how great that is. So,
it really is. It's lovely to be an indie and, you know, to have total control over your publication. It's also very, very nice to have that Amazon machine behind you, you know, with their expertise and the assistance and the fact that they get in there and do the marketing, which, as you know, as an indie author, that's, you spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to effectively market your book. And it's a lot of work and very time consuming. So it's nice to have extra time to write.
Yes.
Yeah, did you find a big difference with the marketing behind you, Patricia?
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I mean, I'm happy to say, you know, that I was doing well on my own and very pleased with how things were going. But of course, when you have Amazon taking the reins, it does make a difference for sure. But I just realized I didn't answer the question you asked, which was,
did
I have to? Yeah, I told you, I'm going off topic.
It's fine.
Did I find it easy to have each character have an equal voice? And I will find out when I read your book. Mine is written in a slightly different format than most, in that there's an introductory chapter in The Bridge Club that tells you how these women all came together, where they met. And then it goes into eight separate chapters, one chapter for each character that talks about...
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So it's not a progressive theme or plot that weaves throughout the story. It's almost like eight short stories at different times during 40 years of things that happened, a crisis in that particular woman's life, where it was the friendship of the Bridge Club that carried her through. You know, they weren't necessarily each other's best friend, but together they had this really terrific bond, you know, a very non-judgmental friendship that began when they were, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, and progressed right through their lives. So they knew each other well, very honest with each other. You know, no one's afraid to share their honest opinion because you know you can trust these women. So it's like sort of eight short stories where they're all in there together, but, you know, it's one person's issue at a time. Like, you know, I mean, there's divorce and breast cancer and one of the group coming out as a lesbian in the 70s, which, you know, was a very different time. And there's adoption, you know, infidelity, and internet porn. and those eight chapters build towards a final chapter where there is a major crisis as they're all in their 60s. You realize that you needed to read about their friendship to be able to understand how they dealt with that major crisis in the end, which, as it turns out today, is a very current topic, particularly in Canada, because it has to do with dying with dignity and, you know, making your own choice about how your life will end under certain circumstances. So it's kind of a heavy ending, but at the same time, readers tell me it's also uplifting. So,
sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds wonderful. So you say, I love that, and I can hear just by talking to you how committed you are to your work. I can feel your passion for what you do. And you say that writing is an addiction, a label of love. Tell us more about that and how you came about to be a writer.
Well, as I say, it really happened by accident 10 years ago when I, you know, started on this first book. And up until that time in my life, I hadn't given any thought to writing whatsoever. I've been a lot of things in my life, and my primary focus has always been my family. I was widowed when I was 43. My husband was 49, and he died suddenly of pancreatic cancer. Our sons were 11 and 12 at the time. Wow. And as you can imagine, it was a really devastating time in our lives, and had a huge impact on how the rest of my life progressed. The one thing that my husband said to me before he died was to remember that we never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So he had no regrets for the life that he'd had up until then. We'd had a wonderful life. He'd been tremendously successful. And he said, I want you to promise me that you'll live a life without regret. And I've tried to do that. And I tried to wake up every morning knowing that this is a gift. Every day is a gift. So, you know, make the most of it. And try to raise our kids that way as well. So I went back to school after he passed away, and I became a teacher. I taught elementary school for a couple of years, and then I met my current husband through friends and acquired 5 more children.
Wow.
But they were mostly, well, 3 were older than my boys and 2 were younger. So we all blended together very nicely. And again, you know, my primary focus became my family, but I stayed involved in education. I worked with developmentally challenged adults and did some other interesting projects. But still, you know, writing wasn't part of it. And I've also always been a photographer since I was given my first camera when I was 6 years old. And my first husband was an executive with Kodak. Hmm. So photography was a big part of our lives as well. And I'm sure looking at my website, you'll see that I use photography a lot in what I do and in my newsletters and in my travels. And so I think that, you know, really, I didn't realize it at the time, but kind of all my life, I've told stories through photography. And I often use my photographs as I'm writing to be a really good source of inspiration and to get something kick-started if I'm a little stuck somewhere. So, yeah, I think, you know, photography was something that led me into writing. And then once the first book was published and, you know, you get involved in social media when you're an indie author. And even with traditional publishing now, you have to do a lot of your own social media. And I realized I love it. I love the community. Don't you find that the writing community is just so inclusive and supportive and fun?
Oh, yeah, we love it.
Absolutely.
KJ and I talk about this all the time.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, the nice thing is that you can find people that are like-minded, and then those are the ones that you kind of hang out with online. That's how Suzanne and I met, actually. You know, people with a similar energy and positive outlook and that kind of thing, and that kind of leads us nicely into our next question is social media. I wanted to find out from you what you found successful in that and what things that you are finding more difficult.
I struggle with technology. Oh, my gosh. It's everything that you have to know about putting things together on the computer and formatting and things like that. And so what I've been fortunate enough to do, and I know a lot of other writers who do the same thing, you know, I've met people who are brilliant with the technology, and they're there to help writers. And so that is just an amazing source of support to have someone that you pay, of course, because they're so knowledgeable and so helpful. And when there is a problem, you know, like getting your newsletter together and getting the pictures in properly and adjusting the fonts and everything else that you have to do, there's somebody, a wonderful woman, Barb Drozdowicz, out in Vancouver, who is just, you know, a genius. In fact, she's written a number of support books for authors.
Oh, nice.
And you might even want to talk to her sometime because she's really great. And I think she has 6 books out at the moment that are incredibly helpful to writers.
Wow, we should look into that.
Okay, I'll send you her information.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so whenever I have a problem, you know, I can just, if I want, I can go into Gmail and see if she's online, just, you know, Google her Gmail, a Google Hangout. And we can sit there and talk together and figure out what the problem is. And, you know, I just leave it with her, and 15 minutes later, I'll get a little message saying, okay, done.
Oh, that's so cool.
Somebody that emails us and goes, done.
Done, yeah, right.
Yeah, those are the best kind of emails.
We love those people.
Absolutely.
That's right. In book 3 of the 11 Provence series, I have my character doing this. It's a gratitude journal, but it's photography. Ooh. So every day, pick a photo. And, I mean, I have a bazillion photos on my computer. I think I have 42,000 at the moment.
Wow.
I have to get them off and onto an external hard drive. I keep getting this message saying, excuse me, your storage capacity is almost full, and it's mostly photos. But, so, you know, choose one photo a day, put it into a special gratitude album, and that is kind of my way of journaling.
Oh, I love that. I think that's a great idea. Rather than having to write about it, just have a picture that says how your day was.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's right. I mean, maybe it's cheating. I don't know. But it,
no, I think it's the same. It's creative.
Well, it is. It's visual, too, which Suzanne and I both are, so I get that.
And so am I. Very much a visual learner. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Patricia, tell us what, as an indie author and now also published with Amazon, what social media do you prefer the most, and which have you seen the biggest impact on maybe sales or at least connecting with your readers?
Right. Well, I love my website, and the woman that I mentioned, West, helped me set it up. So I blog. Oh, gosh, maybe once a week. I try to, for sure, have a blog on Friday. Usually it's called, if it's Friday, it must be France. So it's France-related, and there are photos and, you know, talking about different things. I don't talk much about writing on my website because, as a lot of people have told me, and I've kind of come to realize, you know, your website is to reach readers, not writers. There are all sorts of writers who have amazing websites with great information that, you know, I still need and I'm still learning from. So my blogs are definitely geared to readers. And I have certainly noticed, you know, the response increasing as time goes by. I don't get a lot of comments, but I do get a lot of hits.
Good.
And apparently my click rate is very good, as this wonderful tech person tells me she keeps an eye on things. And then I'm on Twitter. And I actually reached a point last year where I was able to hire a virtual assistant. There's a wonderful young woman, and she helps to organize a lot of my Twitter work. And that's been really helpful in giving me more time to write, because I'm sure you find the same thing. Social media, yeah. You could be on the computer all day just working on social media and writing blog posts for you know, other bloggers who would like you to give them a guest post. And so having Amy help me with Twitter is wonderful. And so that is growing because, you know, she is showing me how to be more effective in using it. But my latest passion is Instagram.
Oh, cool. Ooh, yeah, with the photography.
I love Instagram. I just started with it in the fall. Maybe last summer I started with Instagram. And I post a picture every day. As much as I enjoy sharing my photos, what I really love is seeing all the other amazing photography that's on Instagram from all over the world on every subject you can imagine. And, you know, some just basic everyday photos and some by people who like shoot for National Geographic and people like that. It's just wonderful. So that's the last thing I do every night. I get into bed with my phone and I spend about an hour on Instagram.
Oh, that is cool. What's your Instagram handle so people can find you if they're interested?
My Instagram handle is, Patricia L. Sands. And at the moment I have 2,200 followers.
Wow, check you out.
Wow, that's pretty good.
As I say, you know, most of my photos are about France. Sometimes I talk about writing. For a long time, I never mentioned, in my photos, in my profile, I mentioned I'm an author. In my photos, I didn't really mention anything. And then when Amazon republished my books in October, I did post the covers and just mention that. And then they had them on sale in the January Kindle sale. And I, you know, published a picture of the covers and just mentioned that. But really, I mean, it's nice with everything you do to expand your readership and, you know, have more people interested in what you're writing. But with Instagram, I think too, it's just a great community of people who love to share photographs.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I did that was sort of writing related yesterday, I took a photo. I'd received a really lovely card from a book club in Ottawa that had me visit them on Skype last month. And then they sent me this beautiful thank you card, and all of the women in the group had written a little message inside. So I just took a photo of part of that and posted it on Instagram and said, you know, a book club thank you. Connecting with readers is the best part of being an author.
Oh, that's so great.
You know, you get little messages like that out too. But anyway, are you on Instagram?
Yes, I am. Suzanne, are you?
Oh, yes, I'm on Instagram too.
Suze Kelman and KJ Waters.
Mine is at Kamajowa, KAMAJOWA. And I do regret it. It's true. It's my Twitter handle. It's horrible.
One of these is just S-U-Z Kelman.
Yeah.
K-L-M-A-N, so it's pretty easy to find me on Instagram.
Yeah,
I love it too. Same as you, you know, Patricia. I love looking at everybody's pictures and, you know, Periscope is another one of those that I've been looking into because you get to, you know, look into other people's world, and I love that. It's really fun.
So have you done anything on Periscope?
You know, we haven't yet. I'm thinking, Katie, when you come down, we might do our first Periscope together.
I think we have to. I think that would be a really good way to connect with people. Like, Suzanne and I will be together in Seattle next week, and so we thought maybe we would just launch our first one, just have a little celebration. We're together. I don't know what, I guess, what we would do, but.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. Actually, my French teacher, who's very tech savvy, she does a lot of interesting things online, and she's on Periscope a lot, and she convinced me, she insisted, actually, that I join Periscope, but I haven't done anything on it, because she says, you know, when I'm in France, I should be walking around doing things with, you know, within Periscope with my readers. So maybe this year we'll be there for May, June, and July. So I will maybe give it a try then.
Oh, that's cool.
Are you sure to let your readers know that you're going to be there? Because then they will follow you, because it's really fun. They can connect with you right at that moment, which is really exciting, you know, to have people commenting and chatting to you. And so I think they would enjoy that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I think so, too. I just, you know, it's just finding the time, isn't it?
That's exactly it. You know, you're managing all these other social media sites, plus you're trying to write every day, and you've got, you know, other family obligations and everything. One of the things you brought up that you have, you know, you did book clubs and you do other promotions that are more like hands-on with actual readers and stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you organize that? Do you go to events or do you just join book clubs? How do you connect with readers in that way?
Well, the book club events have all been through readers who invited me to come to their book club.
Oh, cool.
You know, I mentioned on my website that I love to do that. And, you know, I'm on Facebook all the time. I mean, I'm not on it all the time, but I post every day. Also do some events through a group called Book Rhythm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Suze, you might look into that too. KJ, are you publishing books?
Oh, yeah. I have a book out right now. Stealing Time, working on my second one.
Oh, all right. So what genre? What did you write
about? It is science fiction. It's hurricanes and time travel.
Ah-ha-ha.
Yes.
Always am so impressed with people who can get their minds into those really fantastical spaces. I mean, it's like people who write really funny books.
Like Suzanne. Suzanne's is a comedy.
Okay. Makes me even more anxious to read it.
It's great. It's so funny. And it's just a really good story. I mean, she's done a really good job with it.
You're so sweet. Thank you. You are definitely my number one fan, Kate.
Absolutely. In every possible way. It's true.
So what was the name of the company that you said?
Yeah, Book Rhythm.
Book Rhythm. Okay.
Yeah.
And they organized them for you, or how does that work?
Yeah.
Well, now, they don't do my book club meetings, but Book Rhythm's really interesting. They're a woman in Florida and a woman in England. But they get together a few times a year as well. Check them out on Facebook. They do author events. So, for instance, when you publish your book, do an event with them. And they invite all the Facebook people that they know, and you invite all your friends, and you get your friends to invite their friends. And when the event starts, you go on and you talk with your readers. And the readers that these women, you know, have brought into the Book Rhythm community, they're great readers. And I've picked up a lot of new readers through working with Book Rhythm, and they're just really lovely people who, you know, you do a giveaway and you talk about your books. They ask a question, you answer it online. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
So I highly recommend it. And if you do get in touch with them, tell them that I told you to do so.
We will. Thank you. We love these tips. This is great.
Big, big supporters of indie authors.
That's
good. Love it.
Good. We'll have to look them up on Facebook. Now tell us, I know that you're very passionate about your writing and you do it every day. Can you tell us a little bit about your writing process?
Yes.
Ooh, I like the chuckle. This is going to be good.
I'm laughing too. I'm like, oh yeah.
Let's hear it. I want to
sit down at my computer and type away. No, I find that I wake up around 6:30 in the morning if I'm into a manuscript. I mean, I just wake up, my eyes pop open, and it's like, yes, I got to get going. And,
that's,
you know,
cool.
Go straight to my computer. I might take time to stop and make myself. I like to start the day with a mug of warm water and lemon. I'm not a big coffee drinker unless it involves chocolate. So that comes later in the day. I'll get into a cafe mocha or two. And, you know, I'm a bit of a pantser, but I have found more recently, I was just working on a small side project in Kindle Worlds. I don't know whether you're familiar with the Amazon Kindle Worlds.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yes. Well, I was invited to write with for the Lay Crime series that Toby Neal writes.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I don't write crime novels, but what's so interesting about Kindle World is that, you know, these authors who have the series invite authors from all different genres to contribute a story, you know, a novella to the series. And so you can write it in your genre. And you can pick a character that's already in the series and develop a backstory for them. It's a really interesting, challenging writing experience, but very enjoyable. So I found in that, doing that I actually sat down and wrote an outline.
Oh, so you unpantsered yourself for that.
I did, yeah. So I know that that's really helpful to create an outline, and certainly it doesn't mean that you have to stick to it, because, you know, I'm sure you found this. One of the great surprises of writing, even though I had read this in books from other authors, Stephen King's book, when I first started writing, I thought I better take some writing workshops and courses and, you know, get serious about this. And every workshop that I took, and I'm going off topic here for a minute, every workshop that I took, they recommended Stephen King's book on writing, A Memoir of the Craft.
Yep.
And again, you know, this was 10 years ago, so it was right around the time it came out. I think he published it 11 years ago now. And so I finally bought it, even though I'd never read anything by Stephen King, just because his genre didn't appeal to me. So have you read that book?
I have, yes. I love that book.
So the first half is his life story, right, which is a bit bizarre. And by the end of that, I just loved the guy. And then he said, now what I'm supposed to do, what my publisher wants me to do is write a book telling people how to write. And he said, I would never presume to tell anyone how to write. But what I will do is I'll tell you how I write. I'll tell you what works for me and what doesn't, and help yourself to whatever you feel will help you too. And the most important thing that spoke to me is this, and I've shared it with a lot of writers since, because I also get asked to speak to writing groups. He said, if you feel so strongly that you have a story to tell, sit down and tell it. He said, you don't have to take courses to learn how to tell your story. You just sit down and write your story, find your voice, make mistakes, it doesn't matter, just get that story out that you want to tell. And then you find a good editor and you work with that editor. Go from there. But that's your first step. He said so many people spend so much time worrying about taking courses and, you know, learning how to write about the dark and stormy night or the angst-filled relationship or whatever. And, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, you get the general gist. And he said, the most important thing is to just listen to that voice inside you and write your story yourself.
Yeah.
And I love that advice because it was so encouraging.
Right.
You know? And it made a difference to me. You know, I stopped being so focused on taking courses. Then I sat down and wrote The Bridge Club. And as you know, there's nothing more wonderful than working with editors. I love the editing process. I love the fact that, you know, my work comes back to me with all of these observations and comments and suggestions. And I think it's just an amazing part of the whole process.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I love that, too, the way, and because when I read that book, too, I was just the very beginning of my, you know, deciding to write, and my sister-in-law gave it to me for Christmas, and that was one of the things that I took away from it as well. It was like, quit stalling, just go write your dang story. You don't have to have all this preparation. You know, I had all these books I was going to read. I'm like, well, why am I going to read that book when I could just go write my own? So it's the same thing. And I did learn a lot on the way. I had to pick up some books on, you know, editing and how to write more concisely and that kind of thing. But get the story started and get the process started so that, like, part of the reason that you end up being a better writer is by writing.
Yes.
Not by reading about writing, but by actually making the mistakes and then learning how to fix them and then working with the editor as the person that can teach you all the things. You've got these habits that, you know, it's a really interesting process. But his book really did inspire me as well. Like, stop stalling. Just sit your butt down, get that book out there, and then figure out what you need to fix.
Exactly. And, I mean, we never stop learning. It's like everything, right? I mean, we should always be a lifelong learner. And in writing, there's always something new to learn from reading a book about writing, from talking to other writers, from reading books yourself.
Yep.
You know, it's just an ongoing education.
It is.
You know, to be doing this at my stage in life is a big surprise to me and absolutely wonderful. I love every minute of it. Thankfully, my husband is really supportive. My family thinks it's great. So even though there are many days when, you know, I hardly talk to my husband. sorry, dear.
Sorry.
But he gets it. You know, he gets it, and he's happy for me.
Good. That's perfect.
You know, he had a long career as a physician, and he's happy that I love what I do so much. So anyway, sorry. Blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on about it.
That's great, though. Now, tell us what you're working on now.
Well, I'm just finishing the copy edit. I have to send it back to Amazon tomorrow for book 3. I mean, you know, it's been finished for a little while, but we've been through all the edits and then the copy edit and then the proofread. Actually, I guess I'm doing the proofread now. And then I'm working on the next 3 novels because I'm doing another series of 3 that will still follow along with these same characters, but it's a different phase of their lives now.
Oh, cool. And that's exciting. So it's the what do you call the second series of 3 in a
trilogy? I don't know. We're working on a title at the moment for the series. So I'm delighted to carry on with it. And mainly I'm doing it because the readers still want more. You know, they love, you know, of course, most of my readers are people who love the south of France and who love travel or love reading about it. I mean, you know, it just touches me when I get an email from a woman in the middle of Nebraska who says, you know, thank you for taking me somewhere that I know I'll never get to in my real life.
That's
so nice, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, sweet.
It really is.
So I'm working on getting a synopsis of the 3 novels and the first 3 chapters of the first book done to submit to Amazon. Cool. And then I've just finished up this piece for the Kindle World Lay Crime series. And and there are a few other things in the pipeline. So it never ends.
That's good, though. You don't want it to end.
Exactly.
I've got to keep going. All right. Are we ready for the lightning round? Dead silence. Suzanne, I'm afraid now. She's scared.
Well, you know, having been a teacher, I know how lightning rounds affected students at times. It's like, oh my gosh, what's she going to ask me?
That's funny.
These are all nice questions.
Yes, they are.
Mean questions.
Nothing hard.
Fire away. Oh, listen, I'll ask you questions.
Better. Lightning round the Blondie and the Brit. That would be so
scary funny. When you say that. I can see why that's scary.
I'm ready. Ask me anything. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Oh, wait.
You want me to do it then?
Yeah, why don't you do it? I've been blabbing for a while.
All right. So, this is very easy. One word or two word answer. So, you should be able to do this pretty quick.
No,
the lightning round is it happens fast.
One word or two word answers are very difficult for me.
Well, that's okay. What I mean by that is, you don't have to tell us a whole story about why that's your favorite color or whatever. You just say pink,
But I might want to.
That's okay, too.
Well, you can do whatever you like because you are absolute enchanting to listen to. Yes. So you do whatever you want. So. So, first question. What is your favorite band or artist?
Well, I would have to say at the moment, when I'm writing, I'm listening to a lot of Adele, which, ooh, probably is like everybody else, but...
Love it. Yeah, that's interesting because we had somebody else say the same thing just a couple of weeks ago, right, KJ?
Yeah,
I like jazz. I listen to a lot of jazz. I like everything. I like every genre of music. Okay.
Good. Left coast or right coast?
Left coast or right coast?
West or east?
Canadians don't get this question, Suzanne.
You're our second Canadian that didn't understand that.
No idea what we're talking about.
That's right. Well, could it be left bank or right bank in Paris?
Oh,
yeah, I like that even better.
That's a good twist.
And I'll take the left bank.
There you
me
go.
Me too. I like the left bank in Paris. I'm with you. Okay. What is your favorite writing spot?
Wherever my laptop is. I write everywhere.
That's good.
Do you actually write when you're in France? I mean, do you have a spec place in France where you write?
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm writing. I write every single day. And I often take photos of where my laptop is, like with the med in the background. Or when we were in Switzerland, we were in this, for 2 weeks, we were in this amazing spot where I sat outside and wrote at the top of these mountains. So, it's wherever my laptop is. It's the most inspiring place to write.
Are you a pantser or a plotter? I know you've kind of answered this, but you can answer
again. You know that. Yeah, I'm a pantser.
Yeah. If you could be transported back in time, where would you go?
If I could be transported back in time, I think I would, even though, there were a lot of things that weren't really good about that time, I would go back to the Renaissance.
Ooh, nice. If you had a superpower, what would you want it to be?
Does living forever count?
Yeah. It's not Joe, you could be anything.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd love to read people's minds.
Ooh.
I don't know whether I'd like to do that. That sounds good. That sounds a little creepy.
I know. I think it would be good sometimes. Other times you'd be like, I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah. But think of all the storylines you'd pick up.
Oh,
yeah,
see?
Good point. That's a good point. Who or what inspires you?
I have a friend. There are many people that inspire me, but I have a friend who's had MS for 22 years. She's in a wheelchair and has, lost the use of everything, really, except her wonderful brain and her incredible attitude. This is a woman that I've known for, 30 years, and I've never heard her complain about anything. And I try to see her as often as I can because she truly inspires me to appreciate life.
Wow.
She's just a wonderful person.
It's just wonderful. I'm so glad that she inspires you, and I'm sure she wouldn't even think about that.
Well, I tell her regularly, and she's a close personal friend.
That's lovely.
And she does. She's just truly an inspiration.
Well, have a listen to this when we put it out there. That's wonderful. Okay, which book do you wish you had written?
How long is this interview?
You can only pick one. Okay.
Well, when it comes to sales, there are a number. But I think, if I could have written A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh.
Yeah, I love that book.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring, I guess, but I really love that book.
Wow, cool. What is your favorite writing or author moment so far?
They never end. I guess my favorite one would have to be the first time I held a print copy of The Bridge Club in my hands.
Wow.
Because, as you know, it's really something, isn't it? It's like having
it's real.
Almost, I mean, it's a... To me, it was just really amazing, that, oh my gosh, I, actually have written a novel that people want to read. And here it is.
Cool. So,
but I don't think you ever get over that. I every time I hold any of my books, I feel a thrill.
Wow. It's like having children.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing you wish you'd been told about being a writer?
Ha. There are a lot of answers to that, too. I wish I had known in the beginning that before you publish your first book, it's a really good idea to have a couple more waiting to be published. You know, rather than put your first book out there and have writers eager to read something else, but you only have that one book at the time. So when I have a chance to speak to writing groups, that is one thing I say, that, you know, if you can possibly have two or three books ready to go, it really is tremendously helpful to the momentum of your writing career.
That's really good advice.
It is. I don't know.
But I mean, yeah, but you know, also you think, well, you know, when you get that first book written, you want to get it out there, right?
Yeah.
So it takes a bit of patience to think about doing that, but it's the best thing.
So true. Well, that's it. That's all I've got for you, 10 questions. You did great.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Good job. Good answers.
Yeah, great answers.
Well, it was great fun talking to both of you. I'm so thrilled for you that you're going to meet each other in person. I think that is just, again, you know, one of the wonderful things about the writing world these days. We connect with people online that, you know, could be anywhere in the world and often develop really lovely bonds with them. And then finally, you get a chance to meet each other, and that's very special.
Yes, I think so, too. We've been talking to each other on social media for, what, 4 years now almost, Suzanne?
It's been a while, yeah, because I've been on since 2010 on Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
I think we met in 2012 in the fall or spring or something like that. But anyway, yes, so thank you. It's been great having you on the program. I love this interview. You've given us a lot of good information, a lot of good stories. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Well, it was my pleasure. Anytime.
Great. Well,
lovely. And also, anytime we can, like, hook up as far. I know we're both with the same with Lake Union now. So anything you want to do promotion-wise, like, let us know. We'd love to, you know, help in any way we can.
Yeah,
you know? Absolutely. They've done a great job. But still, we love connecting with authors. That's our favorite thing about our job.
Absolutely.
Well, it's wonderful. And you know, I'm sure all authors appreciate what you do, too. I know I certainly do.
Great.
Okay, so we'll be in touch. We'll see you online.
Sounds good. All right, take care of yourself.
See you.
Bye.
Please join us next week where we interview Mark Sadler. His book, Kettle of Vultures, is out next week, and he is a reviewer from Suspense Magazine. Stay tuned. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.